This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Massive tornadoes caused destruction in parts of the South, Midwest, and the East. More people have died. Boy, oh boy, it is a rough, rough season for tornadoes. Trump and his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, may be fighting against each other. Certainly they are. When it comes to this grand jury, the president will be in New York on Tuesday. And on Tuesday night, he's going to speak about what this whole indictment thing is about. We only know broad details. They have to do with Stormy Daniels, a hush payment for $130,000. But the grand jury in New York decided to indict the former president for the first time we've seen a president be criminally indicted. Hey, everybody. Just another day in paradise. Kate Delaney on a very holy of holiest weeks, because at the end of the week for Christians who celebrate, it is Easter. And it is a really big deal for many, many, many families who get together, go to church or hang out, get to see each other. It's a heavily trafficked time when people will fly or drive to see family or friends, etc. And it is the beginning of what we feel like is the slide into summer, sort of, right? So we get tornadoes in parts of the country this time of year. It seems like we can get tornadoes anytime, but 32 people dead after tornadoes hit those areas that I mentioned, and there's more possible weather. In fact, the storm cells are out there that are going to hit this week. A place called McNairy County, Tennessee, 100 miles east of Memphis, hit pretty hard. 9 of the 15 deaths recorded in Tennessee happened there. 4 were in the same building. So many buildings destroyed in that area. A couple of kids and an adult died when a tree fell on their house, most likely, they say, because of weather. That's what happens because the winds are so high, trees get loose, and the unexpected thing can happen when you just happen to be in the wrong spot. There were 5 people reported dead in Arkansas and Indiana, 4 in Illinois. Of course, there were fatalities in Alabama, Mississippi, and Delaware. Boy, Mississippi getting hit really, really hard. I mean, look, even suspected tornadoes touching down as far north as New Jersey. And when the trees come down, power lines go down, power was out and still out for some areas. And I said this earlier, and I say it now a lot of times when I talk about tornadoes, is it's how long it's on the ground, what the winds were up to, and how wide those suckers get. So, for example, the one in Arkansas, the information that they have now is EF3, winds up to 165 miles an hour, 30 miles long, a 1.3-mile wide tornado. That is very difficult, my friends, to survive it. It's more than eeny, meeny, miny, moe, because it hits a big swath, a big area. So prepare this week, because there's more thunderstorms, flash flooding possible. That's already happening in some areas. So we know that there's going to be that kind of weather. Little Rock, Arkansas, going to get hit with it again. People are reeling, and then they're going to have to deal with more weather hitting them back to back to back. There was really sad story about people that were in this theater listening to a heavy metal on Friday night, and the roof collapsed. So there are 5 people still in critical condition. There were people that had to be extracted from that building, pulling people from the rubble, because there were more than 250 people in this small concert venue when that collapse happened. And the description was, it just happened so fast. And that's the thing about the tornadoes. It just happens so fast. So there's people that are displaced. There's people that need shoulders and help, and it's really tough. Emergency crews are worked hard to just dig people out of basements because the house collapsed on top of them, and do whatever they could to try to save as many people as they could. And in Tennessee and some of the areas I described, they did a great job of doing that because there were so many people that were impacted by it all. McNairy County, like the one I talked about in Tennessee, three storm cells hit there on Friday night, almost the exact same path. So that's why that county got 40% of the damage, and most of it was homes, especially because it was a big residential area. And tough for Tennessee. Boy, this is days after that school shooting. Think about that last week in Nashville that killed six people, including three nine-year-olds. And so it's been a rough week for Tennesseans, that's for sure, and also for people in Mississippi, because then they get hit again with weather after the disastrous tornadoes they had just the week before. Just can't tell with these storms what's going to happen, except for that, you know, there is help afterwards. I mean, with the system, now the systems that are in place in so many counties and so many areas, thank goodness, are there, because the panic mode that you feel, the sick sensation in your stomach, but realizing you've survived, your family survived, then it's like, okay, we're alive. Now we have to move forward. All right, speaking of moving forward, that's what's going to happen for the former president on Tuesday. There's a lot of discussion about all kinds of things related to the case against him, but we don't know some of the specifics of the evidence. We certainly can guess what it is, but we don't know because it's sealed, as any grand jury's evidence is sealed. What they looked at, what the charges are going to be, all that's sealed, but there's enough to charge him with. So he's flying up on Monday to New York, going to be in court on Tuesday, then going to talk about it on Newsmax late on Tuesday night. And this arraignment, like I said, will happen in the afternoon, for the former president. And that's what the weekend was all about. And part of last week, the tail end of last week, was speculating as to what does it mean and what will it mean for his campaign chances. And you know, 55% of Americans, according to this new ABC poll, don't support the Trump indictment. So is he winning the court of public opinion? It seems like he is winning the court of public opinion, and that's key. After the indictment was announced, he had already raised $4 million, and that's all about, you know, running for to be reelected to the job that he held previously. What comes out of the arraignment, then you go down the line and then you see how that case plays out. And none of those cases ever turn out to be quick deals, so this will take some time. But the first step is the being processed, and that processing happens next week. There's so many other things that are going on across this great country, but I think the weather, the conversation about the former president, certainly top the list. We'll get into more areas later this week, including what's happening with OPEC, what's going on with inflation, what's happening at the tail end of the week, that kind of thing. And will your flights be there or not? A lot of flights were canceled because of the weather. Over 3,000 delayed or canceled. UBIs or fun facts coming up next.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there's some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Of information. Jeremy Paulson, our amazing technical director for the show, joins us with his own list of UBIs. I have a few of my own as well that I think will surprise him and some of you as well. Hey, Jeremy.
I don't get surprised very often, so we'll see.
Oh, we will see. Yeah, let's hear yours.
Mine?
Yeah, let's hear yours.
Well, I have one, so I guess humans are the only animal that enjoys spicy foods.
Really? No yeah. other. No
I guess
other.
No other animals like spicy food.
That kind of makes sense, right? That's why they say don't feed the dog or the cat like your spicy pizza or your leftover Indian food or whatever it is that you have, yeah.
Yeah, I guess not good. I don't know. But at least my next one, I guess chewing gum after a meal helps with heartburn.
Really?
Yeah, I guess the saliva from chewing the gum neutralizes the acid reflux. So is that something I'm going to test someday? You know, because I get a lot of acid reflux. So
I think a lot of people listening to the show probably get it, and that's the thing they could all try.
Yeah, I mean, chewing gum's easy. Cheap. Well, yeah.
Right. if it's gonna prevent you from feeling terrible, that's a good thing. You just put it by your bedside.
Yeah, evidently, I guess.
Nice,
after
I like
a meal,
it.
Chew gum.
That's a good one.
And then I got a nap, because we were talking about sleeping all the time. I guess naps can save your life. After a midday nap, you get more creative, more focused, and are fresher. And it's 37% less likely of heart attacks.
Ooh, 37% less likely of heart attacks.
Yeah, so I guess take naps, people. Naps are good for you.
You know, it's interesting because, as you said, afternoon naps. Well, there's somebody, I can't remember who it was that I was reading. He's a speaker and he's famous. I can't think of his name. But he says the same thing, that he learned that you are more creative, and that when you have, you know, you eat a meal and then you're working and you go through this lull, that if you take a nap, you're going to bounce back that much better and be that much more effective, that a nap is the way to go.
Yeah, well, that's what it says. Nap is the way to go. More creative, more focused, and fresher.
The problem is that most people don't have the kind of jobs where they have that flexibility. Hey, can I just take an... Listen, if you would just let me take a 25-minute nap in the middle of the day and I'll come back. If I had to work, it doesn't matter. I'll work the hours. I mean, I can work later, but well, I want to take that nap.
Most people get like a 30-minute lunch break, right?
Right.
Just take a nap during your lunch break and eat while you're working.
Actually, that's a good idea. Right? You know what they have? They actually have, it's funny you say that about the naps, because the one thing they do have is they have nap pods. So there were some offices that were doing that they were offering these nap pods. So to your thing of, okay, take your lunch, you could sleep in the pod, and you'd have privacy, and then boom, then you'd come out and work.
I've actually saw a video of this in, I want to say China, I'm not sure, but they actually recommend them to take naps, and they have like little sleeping bags.
Yep.
Like they're like, oh, it's nap break time, and everyone got off the computer and lay down on the floor on these little beds, and it was like, wow.
Well, that'd be cool, because when you think about it, kids like in kindergarten and preschool, all that, that's what you get, naps. They build in naps for kids, right? So you start off that way, then they take it away from you, of course. But the energy pod thing that you're talking about, you're right. In Japan, they do it. It's like a 20-minute nap, they say, is beneficial. So that way, you're not looking at phones, you're not doing anything. You are definitely napping. Mm-hmm. And that it really, really works and really helps people. All right, I'm all pro nap. I love it. I think it's good. And when you take that nap, maybe you'd have a teddy bear if nobody sees you anyway.
That's a Kate move.
I liked, you know, people, there, I wasn't like collecting a whole bunch of stuffed animals when I was a kid, but I did like teddy bears, and I would be given teddy bears, you know, as presents. So the first teddy bear came supposedly, because I know there could be lots of arguments about it, but the stuffed toy in the form of a bear anyway was done supposedly simultaneously by two different toy makers, Morris Michtum and Richard Stief. And that happened back in 1903. Back in 1903. And of course, what's interesting is Michtum had petitioned President Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy, get it, for permission to use his nickname, Teddy. The president agreed, and before long, other toy manufacturers started turning out copies of his stuffed bears. So it became just like a childhood institution for a lot of people, a lot of us. And, you know, the bears, of course, developed into all kinds of sizes and makes, and there's famous bear companies like the Gun Company. But it happened in 1903, which I think is so cool. Other UBIs include this one. Are you a fan of licorice? Do you like licorice?
The red one, I can have like one, but I'm not the biggest fan. No, I won't. Yeah, not the biggest fan.
No, I'm a big fan of licorice. I like black and red licorice. So it was invented in the 17th century. In its modern form, it came out in Holland, right? And what they did was they take this licorice root juice and they created the sweets from that. So it's a plant. That's how it started. It's a plant, and then it was made into candy. I think that's interesting.
I like the little ones. Like, you know, the little Twizzler ones.
Oh, yeah, the little chunks.
Yeah, I like the little chunks.
I do, too.
I just don't like the big, long, yeah.
I like the little chunks, too. And but licorice is popular. However, just like you said, people either sort of like licorice or they're like, eh, They don't definitely black licorice is a thing. Yeah. You either like it or you don't, and you make a face. Yeah. You make that face like it's an octopus. Oh, I don't eat octopus. No. Oh, what are you talking about?
It's just like black coffee. You either like dark coffee or you don't.
yeah. You know what, though? Licorice is good. The black licorice, even though you don't like it, it's good because it's good for a sore throat. If you have an upset stomach, it's good for that. There's a lot of benefits to it. It's probably because it's so strong.
Or it's a plant.
Yeah, and it's a plant. Right. It's a plant, and it's strong, and that kind of makes sense to me. So going along with that whole theme we have going here with your teddy bear and your licorice and your sleep pods and getting your nap, how about video games? Do you know when the first video game, and see, this could be an argument too, but the history of video games, the first video games, when they started?
I have no idea. Atari.
Atari sounds right, right? But actually, the history of video games tells us that it really started in the 50s and 60s because you had computer scientists who started to design simple games, and they did these simulations on the mini computers and mainframes. That's what they did. So in MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, they developed this thing called Space War. And they think, at least it's being described as the first video game or one of the first video games.
Well, I could totally see that. I could totally see someone making something before that, though, and not saying anything.
Yeah. I had a video game before
you. I just know
that
Atari was like the first like mass-produced console, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Nintendo, Atari, think about all that. Think about the advancements in video games. It's crazy. Because in the 70s, you needed the low-cost microprocessors to be able to do the hardware part of it. And like you said, Atari, getting the Atari video computer system, and that just exploded. That was like kind of they call it the golden age of arcade video games.
We used to be the leading like chip manufacturer, you know. America was with the Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And then we went to getting it from Japan.
Yeah, Space Invaders, Pac-Man, all of that. Yeah, so many video games. They said a flood of like too many video games at one point in the 80s. And you're right, that's what happened. So because we sort of crashed with that, then Japan took over the gaming industry, and they became the leaders in the marketplace, right? So that was one of the things that happened. Nintendo, that was what happened. Nintendo, etc., and down the line. Well, that was interesting. Thank you, Jeremy Paulson.
You're welcome.
I gotta go take a nap. I don't know about the rest of you, but stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Former President Trump's Attorney General says Trump should not take the stand in the hush money case against him in New York.
He lacks all self-control, and it'd be very difficult to prepare him and keep him testifying in a prudent fashion.
That's according to Bill Barr, appearing on Fox News Sunday. He says that's a risky move in a criminal case. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is offering to send in the National Guard, and says the state police are at ready for former President Trump's arraignment in Manhattan next week. Former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson tells ABC's This Week,
I have made a decision, and my decision is I'm going to run for President of the United States. And I'm convinced that people want leaders that appeal to the best of America and not simply appeal to our worst instincts.
He joins former Secretary of State Nikki Haley and former President Trump in the race. Dave Collins, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Australia for a conversation with David Reedman. His book is A Man's Greatest Challenge. And what is a man's greatest challenge? And that is the other part of this is being a father. We had an interesting conversation off the air, and it's something that I've talked about here on this show with many different people. The situation we find ourselves in now, especially with young men and what's happening in the world. David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Tell me your road to writing the book. What made you decide you were going to write the book?
For me, it's the culmination of a personal journey, firstly. I grew up in a strong home and family. When I went out teaching, initially I was a secondary school teacher. The school I was teaching in was the worst in our state. And the homes that the children came from that I taught were completely different to mine. There were some good homes, some bad ones, and that stimulated me to let's have a look at and just observe and see what I can learn. What makes a good father? What makes a bad father? Because at that stage, I was still single. When I married, I wanted to be the best dad I could. Since then, we have worked a lot in as a minister and in youth training and leadership and mentoring. And it became more obvious that there are many young men growing up who want to be a good father, but just really have no idea what's involved. And so the experiences from my mentoring and in ministering and working with families as a minister and so on, began to do that personally and was then encouraged by a number of people and prompted particularly by my 3 kids, Dad, you need to put this in writing so that more people can access it.
We're not going to tell everybody everything, but give us a couple of nuggets of what does it take to be a good father?
I think to be a good father, one, you need to be committed to the task and realize that it's an ongoing task that never changes. It just goes on year after year after year. It's a task that you'll never see the full results of, but you're actually building a legacy that you'll see in your children and your grandchildren as they live along. The important principles I think that I've found, it's important to love your kids, and love for children is spelled T-I-M-E. It's about the time that we spend with them, the time that we're involved in what they're doing. And that's an important principle that I've found, and it's outworked in many different ways. Another one is the power of the words that we speak. Almost every child or every person that I've spoken to, even as an adult, as a minister, all of them can remember words that were spoken either by their parents or a teacher or a sporting coach when they were young that is still influencing their life, positive or negative, today. And so as a father, the words we speak are so incredibly important into building the lives of our kids.
How gratifying is it when you really embrace that role as your children were telling you you should write this book? What's that feeling like?
For me, there are a lot of things I'd like to achieve in life, but the greatest thing I ever want to achieve and ever want to be remembered for come my funeral is I was a great father and a great dad and a great granddad. And now my children are all married. They're all in the process of having their own children and grandchildren. And they consistently, in cards, on Mother's Day, Father's Day, and those sorts of events, writing to us as a family, comment on what they've appreciated and how I've inputted into their life and how it's now enriching theirs. And to me, that's the greatest satisfaction I can get.
Yeah. Mentoring, that word comes up a lot. And I think sometimes people don't understand what mentoring is. When you decide you're going to mentor, and when you're mentoring boys who are in a situation maybe where they don't have that strong father figure, they don't have a father, there's been a divorce, there's been something else that's happened, or they lost their father, that's a key thing that you talk about, right? Mentoring?
It is. It's an important thing. And I think mentoring involves, the same as raising children, mentoring involves time. You've got to be committed to spend time with the person that you're working with, that you're journeying with as they go through. You need to know what you're talking about first, and I think I've got a reasonable amount of experience there. And you need to be open to sharing your life, not just your successes, because I think I've learned more sometimes in the mistakes that I've made rather than necessarily the right thing I did from the word scratch. And helping them to see as you walk the journey with them that, hey, you can learn something from good things, you can learn something from bad things, and that you're there as a mentor to support them, not to judge them, but to support them in what they're doing and help them to become more effective as fathers.
We're speaking with David Reedman. His book is A Man's Greatest Challenge, Being a Father. Are you worried for where we are as a society in the United States, in Australia, in the UK, and around the world? Because people all over are listening to this interview.
I am concerned about the future. I mean, various people, some of your presidents, George Bush and Barack Obama and various other people have highlighted in significant addresses, State of the Union addresses and those sorts of things, that fatherlessness they see as one of the major social ills affecting society, American society today. The young men represented in prison population, in taking their own lives, in drug addiction and so on, the vast percentage of those young men significantly are people who came from fatherless homes and families. Research in Australia is, in the last 10 years, is showing that a child's social development, their language skills, their results in school, their ability to be able to get a job, the level of their income, all those sort of things in later life are affected by whether a father's at home or not. And the fact that fatherlessness is increasing in our society doesn't go well for our society.
Boy, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. The you have a website, amansgreatestchallenge.com, www.amansgreatestchallenge.com. The book itself, what do you hope people take away from reading the book?
I hope that they can take away from the story, because it's written, I suppose, from it's the things I've learned, and I've used lots of personal examples, that they themselves, there are some simple principles that if they implement those effectively, they can begin to see positive changes taking place in their lives and in the lives of their kids. And I want them to be encouraged that they can do it. It is possible. It will never be easy, and I don't think it ever has been easy. But it is possible, and the rewards at the end are more than worth all the effort and time you put into it.
Yeah, what are some of the simple principles?
I think for me, one of the simple principles I think is just talking with kids, the language that we use, and we need to talk to our kids. We need to teach our kids, which is more than just talking to them, but it's actually explaining what we're saying and why we're saying it, and that's going to be relevant to where they are in terms of their growth and development. We need to train our kids. In the past, it was traditional, and still is in some societies in the world, that a young person, a young man, and then also a young woman, are trained by their parents in the trade of their parent. And while we don't do that in our Western society, there are so many areas in life where we need to train, which is more than talking and more than explaining it, but it's working with them hands-on in whatever it is we're trying to do, whatever they're trying to achieve. And in that process, and it all takes time, there's a process of transfer. You gradually, I'm at the stage now where now I do and have done for years, can look back and see there are so many things that I'm doing that I unconsciously picked up from just watching the example of my father. And now I've put that into practice in my life, and I'm seeing my children and more recently my grandchildren doing things. And it's kind of like, well, as my son said the other day when I celebrated my 70th birthday, he said, "Dad, when I look at the lives of my kids, I see them doing things and I remember, hey, Dad used to do that. Dad showed us how to do that." And those principles, there's just some of the principles that are important in building a great family.
And it has to make you feel good that you know that the influence was there because it was from your father to you, transferred to your children, and then so on and so forth down the line. So there really is no doubt those critical moments are those formative years, right?
They are, and they're so important. And I think one of the things that there was a lot of debate years ago about whether we spend quality time or quantity time with our children. And for me, I don't think there's any real distinction between the two. I think when you spend time, my son for a period during his high school years was picked for an elite volleyball training squad here in South Australia. And at that stage, he couldn't drive, so I used to drive him backwards and forwards to every training session. And that literally consumed hours every week. But it was often in those times when he would raise things in a conversation that you could begin to explore. Hey, the kids at school have been talking about this or doing that. What do you think? And it's those sorts of things that you transfer something across, something's taught, something's imparted in their lives. It wasn't intentional. Sometimes you can't plan for it. It's a matter of just being there and open to the opportunities.
Yeah, wow. What a terrific interview. David Reedman, A Man's Greatest Challenge, Being a Father. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever great books are sold. You can go to the website, and that's www.amansgreatestchallenge.com. Thanks so much.
The
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Excited to introduce you to David T. Gilbert. His book is called Celine's Shadow, Book One, and he has such an interesting concept, one that absolutely we can see happening. And when we talk on this show about AI and we talk about science fiction, and I love science fiction, and this is a great genre, it's interesting what he's mixed here. David, thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, yes, you're most welcome. It's a pleasure to be here, Kate.
What moved you in this direction? Why did you write this book?
I've always enjoyed science fiction very much. It is an imagination that is unlimited. So, and I've also liked history, and I've also enjoyed the what-if in history. As we had industrial revolution back with the Victorian times, but the Romans and the Greeks, they knew about steam. They had a little bit of steam toys, actually, which spun round and round. They knew about hydraulics. We had the Chinese. They knew about gunpowder and all sorts of things. So, and this was well over 1,000 years ago. So I just kind of thought to myself, what if the Roman Empire had actually met the Chinese dynasty and they had become one, would that have completely changed everything? And of course it would have completely changed everything. Over 1,000 years ago, we could have had our industrial revolution, but where would we be now? So with an empire that big, it would almost take up a huge amount of the planet and the Earth and from east to west and Europe right the way across the hemisphere. Leadership. We have to take leadership. We have to find leadership. And these guys do. They don't elect their leaders. They train their leaders. They pick them very carefully. And then they train them for leadership. And so they focus everybody in the same direction. Also, now in that storyline, which I've brought up, if we have AI coming forward, quite quickly, it means opening by the day. And a lot of people are quite scared of it, and I do understand why, because it's all over the place. But I believe it has a massive potential to do wonderful things. And if we can harness that, and in the book we do harness that, then we can do massive things, amazingly good things with AI cyber.
Tell us about the characters in this novel, Celine's Shadow.
Celine Shadow is the name of the ship, actually. But the whole story is basically written through the eyes of a young lady. She's called Sorrento. It is on a planet that is a farming planet to support the Empire. The Empire is pretty big to support the Empire. And she has a personal intelligent companion. When you have a baby, you go and pick the pram up, and then you go and pick up a robot, or in this case, an android. An android is bonded to reptiles. So looks after it, takes care of it, makes sure it's always safe, all that type of stuff. And they accidentally wake up one of these AIs that the Empire was playing with 500 years ago, but a little bit scared of it, and so they hid it. So they have accidentally woken this AI up, and the AI looks around and says, whoa, what's going on here? I need to find out what's happened. And they just get whisked out into space, as it were. And they start going to find out what happened, why were they betrayed, and what is basically, where are we now?
Where are we now? That is ultimately the question. What do you hope people take away from reading your novel, Celine's Shadow, Book One?
One, I hope it's going to be a good story for them to enjoy. I've tried to make it as quick and fast paced as possible. But primarily, I like people to think that, the leadership that we have, or in my book, sorry, the leadership that is in this book is leaders that are picked carefully, they're not elected, and they're trained to be leaders. Everybody's focused in the same direction. And secondly, that AI is here. It is here, and its new chapters are coming up very quickly. And it is something that has massive potential. And I just want people to think that, okay, well, if we can do this properly, then we can do anything. This is sky's the limit. I believe very much so that if we have a good, compassionate leadership, solely focused, and a good, intelligent AI, then wow, it's amazing. That's what I want people to get. That, yeah, we can do this. Don't worry about it. We just need to kind of focus a little bit.
Was it fun for you to take current themes that are floating around and what we're thinking about and pour it into this book and use what you knew and develop characters and a storyline? Was that fun for you to write?
It was fun for me to write. I've been very lucky. I've traveled around the world quite a bit, and there's a lot of people and cultures and etc. And there are some countries that have really got a handle on what they're doing, and then there's some that don't. I like to think that we have such passion, and so intelligent, or can be intelligent, and we have a compassionate way of doing things. It's been inherited in us, and yes, it is fun. So I just kind of said, well, okay, let's try and build a future that is amazing and can be amazing.
And so as you do this, this is book one. Is it already begun, the journey into the next book?
Yes, indeed it has. The next book is 50 pages, it's about halfway through on my computer. there's a bit more than that when it goes into the page. But yeah, that's right. So the first book is setting it all down, bringing the characters in, laying it all down, rebuilding the empire. You know what history is, and you know what spirit all going. And the second book then takes it further. There are aliens also. We meet aliens. How are we going to handle this? Is another question that comes up in the book. How are we going to handle that? What are we going to do? So yes, I like to just throw these questions out. Aliens, AI, compassionate leadership. How are we going to do this?
Yeah, how are we going to do this? Exactly. So people want to get the book. David, how can they get it?
Oh, right. Well, at the moment it's on Amazon, hard copy, I believe electronic form, and also soft copy. And then later on the book will come out in printed form. But yes, Amazon is the way to get it.
All right. This always seems to be the roads lead there. So David T. Gilbert, the name of the book is Celine's Shadow, Book 1. Thanks for coming on.
You're most welcome. Really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
All right, it's no trick, but we have a couple minutes here left in the show. How about mortgage rates? This is a shocker, or maybe it shouldn't be a shocker because we knew that it was going to go up, but topping 7% for the first time since 2002. That's crazy. So the 30-year fixed rate mortgage averaged 7.08 in the week that ended October 27th. So it's going up, 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 up. And the last time we saw that, like I said, was April of 2002. And this, of course, is the Federal Reserve's unprecedented campaign of hiking interest rates to supposedly tame soaring inflation. There was a question mark as to whether that is working or not. The average mortgage rate is based on a survey of conventional home price loans for borrowers who put 20% down and have good credit. So if you look at that, imagine what somebody's potentially paying. And when they start to think about it, based on even what maybe the house would cost, they're not doing it. So this time last year, if you put 20% down on, let's say, a house that was $390,000, you financed the rest with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, and your interest rate was like 3.14, let's say, you'd have a mortgage payment of $1,339. Now it'd be $2,093. That's $754 more a month, which is crazy and unaffordable, and plus not desirable for people, even if they think they could afford it, let's say, they'd have to really, really want that house. They'd have to really, really want to move because that adds up over time. Hello. And 7% mortgage rates are just not doable for most people. And like I said, even the ones that perhaps could surely do it don't want to do it because they want to get a deal. And what kind of a deal is that? Because then you imagine what their house would cost if it was a higher rate, if they were getting a $500,000 house, if they were getting $1 million house. Those interest rates matter so, so much, unless you're just paying cash, and that's a whole different ballgame, and that's not what we're talking about. So on that note, trick or treat, everybody. We're almost here. Maybe you're running out. You probably could get some good deals on those last minute bags of candy and costumes and some of those decorations. Make it count, everybody.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.